Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, Dr. Drew here. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. This is Loveline. And tonight, Gregory Itzen. He is the President of the United States, President Logan on 24.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Drew.
Does the President have earrings? Is that?
Oh my God!
I just noticed that.
I have earrings, don't I?
And do they plug those up during the show?
Actually, for the first time. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Well, people. For the first time ever, a couple of weeks ago, the producer said, "Would you make up those ears?" Because they did an extreme close up of the left side of my face.
We have a couple.
I saw them, and I've never seen them before. So there they are.
You have a couple of studs.
I have a couple.
Very stylish.
Three holes.
Very stylish. But I don't know if the president had that. I didn't see it on the president's.
I think why not? I think that's okay.
Fair enough. How do you like working on that show?
As I just said to Nicole a little while ago, it's the job of a lifetime so far. I mean, I've had some great work, but this is, as a totality, it's wonderful. It's great.
Those of you listening around the country, not in Los Angeles, there's a disc jockey that precedes this show in Los Angeles
who is smitten,
would not be a strong enough word, obsessed, profoundly obsessed with 24, and had been waiting just anxiously for the moment when Gregory would come around so she could just question him and, by the way, talk her way onto the set, which I believe she did.
Easily. I'm easy. Come on.
Elizabeth Cuthbert has been up here a few times. She also promised her to get on the set, and the doors came slamming shut when she tried to get her way out there. They said, "Too, it's closed. We can't have anybody anywhere, especially somebody with a microphone."
Well, you can't. I can show her on the set, but not while we're working.
You're the President of the United States.
That's true. So. Yeah, doors open.
So what can you tell us about what's coming? Anything? Nothing?
I should have asked what I'm allowed to tell.
Are you signed? Is it in your contract, say? You're not allowed to discuss anything until it's aired?
You know what? I never had to sign anything legal and binding, but they do say at the front of every script, and when you get the 24th script, it says your name is printed on it, that this script number, blah, 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 goes to Gregory Itzen. So if that script ever shows up anywhere.
It's yours.
Yeah, it's mine.
Interesting.
You asked if I can tell anything. The only thing I can say, I mean, I get accused of many things, being spineless, being wormy. Oh, God.
So finally, actually, they're calling you on this stuff.
They decided that he should have a spine. So around mid.
I was going to say, if I know 24, the characters have a way of changing. Yeah, either showing some inner strength or some inner evil or some something.
Some twist. Yeah, so that's coming up. And
actually,
that's all I'm going to say. I had dinner
sitting next to Jean Smart at a charity event. Jean plays your wife on 24.
Yes, she does. Exquisitely.
And she's great, and she sang your praises all evening long.
Yeah, so. I could do the same for her. She's a
nice lady.
She's a nice lady, for starters. She's a good lady, and I've known her for a long, long time. So the minute we saw each other, or I found out she was going to do this job, I was, clicking my heels. I kept saying to them when they were making the choice, I know her. I know her really well. I just wanted to know that we're old friends. And then when she came on board, it was just, like two ducks in
the
pond.
She does a good job.
She's amazing.
When she's playing the intoxicated, sort of distracted psychotic.
There's some wonderful stuff of that coming up, too. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And if those of you who maybe didn't know Gregory before, I'm sure you actually did, just didn't know that you did. And the reason he knows people like Gene Smart is if you look at a list of his previous television appearances and his filmography, it's crazy. It's like The Practice, Without a Trace, The West Wing, NYPD, Charlie's Angels, Beverly Hills 90210, Party of Five, The A-Team goes way back, saying Elsewhere, Bork and Mindy, Murphy Brown. Saying Elsewhere. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, you'd like this.
I was in medical school during St. Elsewhere's run, and we were all very kind of
watching. That's real. Oh, that sucks.
Right, exactly.
I played a guy with narcolepsy.
Nice.
That would be triggered by, I had to keep myself calm because in the minute I had
startled.
If I startled, I would fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's his name? This is where it gets bad because it's so many years ago. And the blonde guy.
Ed Begley?
Yes, thank you very much.
Ed Begley Jr.?
Yes, Ed and I were competing for this woman. And when he found out what my dilemma was, he kept trying to break me up. So so that was sort of the storyline.
He'd say, boo!
Yeah, or he'd make a joke and I'd go, ha! Anyway. And they put me in an MRI and he made me fall asleep before I went in there. I mean, that was sort of the storyline. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take some calls. How about that, Gregory?
That's a good
idea. Gregory, it's the President of the United States, President Logan, 24. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191, and we are going to start out with Nikki. What's up, Nikki?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you today?
We're good. What's happening?
Well, I'm kind of curious. I am 30 years old, and I have what my gynecologist terminalized as a rectocele.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is basically, like, how that affects me sexually. And, you know, I mean, I've been with my husband for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, anally. How does that affect you? I mean, does that...
You guys have been engaging only in anal?
I had a surgery, basically, I had to have a hysterectomy.
Right.
And he did not... He opted not to correct the rectocele, is what
Why?
He told me at the time.
Why?
I don't know. He said I had
things
wrong that he didn't want to put me through that, too.
How many pregnancies have you had?
Three. Well, four pregnancies, three births.
And all vaginal births?
Yes.
Okay. What happens when the baby comes down the vaginal canal is he or she tears the crap out of that area. And
yeah,
particularly
one of those that definitely did that.
Right, and particularly the wall that supports the vagina and the rectum, the top part and the bottom part, get pulled apart, and the bladder can drop into the vagina, and the rectum can drop into the vagina. And when the bladder drops in, that's called a cystocele, and when the rectum drops in, that's called a rectocele.
Okay.
Okay, and they usually repair that, sort of restore things back towards a more normal. You know, if you get a huge rectocele, you start having trouble with your urine coming out when you don't want it to, and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
the rectocele
I had all those problems, but then they did.
And the rectocele can cause constipation and problems evacuating things. All those good things.
Yeah.
Good times, yeah.
Yeah.
Why the anal sex with you guys? Their story there?
Well, that's not really a big deal. I just kind of wondered.
I just wonder if that's making things worse.
No.
Because I would think it would.
Well, and it's not a very big deal with us. I just kind of wondered if that would make it worse.
Yes, I would think it would, because you already have pathology there.
Yeah.
And you start worsening things and loosening things more.
We're talking like in 10 years of marriage, that's probably gone there maybe 10 times.
All right, very good. Good time.
You know?
Good time. You're fine. Relax.
But I just worry that in the future, is that something should I avoid? And
I mean, maybe on his birthday, anniversaries.
In
what?
The future.
Yes, it's going to. Yeah, well, yes, it's going to cause you problems. It's going to be problems evacuating that area, and it's going to get worse as time goes on. I wonder why they didn't.
You know, why would he not have fixed that while he was in the first place?
I don't know. You have to ask your doctor that, and maybe it didn't really need it yet.
Do I smack him silly for that?
No, maybe it doesn't really need it yet. But the fact is, your activity back there is going to, you know, cause problems of other areas. That when you sum up all the, you add up all the different problems, things aren't going to work the way they should. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much.
See, Gregory, that's Loveland. That's how it works.
There you go.
Okay. A little rectocele.
I didn't really know how to address that rectocele problem.
It was a little bit medical. Let's see if we can get something more, a little more interpersonal. Stella, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on? You're on with Gregory Itzen. He is President Logan.
How you doing, Stella?
I'm doing good.
Good.
This is where you talk.
You got a couple people in the background there, Stella, laughing with you.
No.
Okay.
It's just me by myself.
Turn your radio off then. That was us.
That was us then.
Oh, yeah. That was y'all.
Oh, those guys. They're in the room with you.
I love you guys. do y'all have my question? Or?
You need to ask
I
it.
I have my question. Okay.
You have your question.
All right. I'm seeing someone for ever since I was 18, and I've been a dancer since then. And I've actually, in the past 2 years, been sleeping with people for money.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, if I should tell the guy I've been with. We were together, and then we kind of separated for a short period of time, 2 years, and then we got back together. But throughout that time, I've been a dancer, and he's known and everything. But he doesn't know that I sleep with people for money.
Why don't we just cut through the nonsense and call this what it is? It's prostitution. So he doesn't know you. He knows you're a stripper, but he doesn't know you're a prostitute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you can't even say that, though, suggests to me that you don't feel exactly comfortable with the career selection.
I see it for something that people don't really see it as. I see it the wrong side, and I also see that, I don't really think it's so bad. Like, I don't want to continue it as my future.
Hey, Stella,
like,
stop BSing. Stop BSing. Hey, Stella, stop BSing yourself. You couldn't even say the word. Of course it bothers you. And you can't tell your boyfriend. Something you're so proud of, you have to hide it, and you can't even say the word.
So, well, I'm not proud of it, but...
Well, stop with the BS. I can rationalize it. No, it's a bad choice. It's a bad thing. You're doing it, whatever, that's your choice. But don't kid yourself. There's a huge price to be paid for that in your soul, emotionally, believe me. But go ahead. What is your question?
Well, should I tell him or should I just not tell him?
Or wait till you get HIV and then tell him?
Why would I get HIV?
Is the guy wearing a condom every time?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm safe.
Hopefully that'll protect you.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully. Should you tell him? Gregory, what do you think?
Well, as you mentioned, this is psychic and spiritual and all that sort of thing. What kind of relationship do you want to have with this guy? Is it an honest relationship you want to have? If it's an honest relationship, then the question answers itself.
But is it even a relationship?
There's that, too, of course.
Is it just some sort of a security blanket you need to carry around with you?
Right.
If it's a relationship.
I mean, in the future, should I tell? I'm just saying, like, in the future, if I don't continue with him, should I tell other people that I'm wanting to get serious with and possibly marry? Like,
what do you think you should do?
I think that people see it as something really horribly wrong and that you're going to go to hell for it. Like, I don't even do it anymore. It's something that I've stopped doing. I still am a dancer, but I don't sell myself for money anymore. Like,
well, no, you just changed the story there. You said you did, and now you're saying you didn't. What's the truth of this?
No, I have, but I've quit since, like, about 5 months ago. I haven't done it. Like, I haven't had sex for money. That's what I mean. Like,
let me ask you, is it because you needed the money, or is it because you needed the affection or the attention or that sort of thing? And have you thought about that?
It was quick, easy money, like the quickest, easiest way I've made money in my whole life, and it didn't, like, I don't know, it just didn't seem to bother me. Like, it still doesn't, bother me. I don't cry about it. It doesn't bother me. Like, I'm safe when I do it. I don't know. I just...
Well, I think the fact that you quit...
I know the way other people see it, and they view it in their minds. It's horribly wrong, and...
Excuse me, Stella. Wrong. Stella. Mm-hmm. No, people really don't care what you do. And the fact is, it's not about right or wrong. It's about people who look at someone who's doing that and they feel very sad and very sorry for them. I see it as what it is, a history of sexual abuse, addiction, trauma in your family system. So you have no boundaries. So there's no boundary to you doing these things that really have a tremendously detrimental effect on your emotional life. Yes, you want to project out to this right and wrong stuff, and you're going to show the man. The man doesn't care. The man doesn't care. This is your life, your choices. But as someone who deals with people like you all the time in a therapeutic context, I will tell you, in all cases, a huge price to be paid. And it's very sad. It's very sad to see you go down that path.
So what are you saying? I'm like...
You're a trauma survivor. There's no doubt about it. And you made some crazy choices. Not crazy. Some difficult choices that are going to impact your life for the rest of your life. And it's not... And you stay on that path, it's going to continue to sort of unravel and be chaotic. It's going to be impossible to have a real relationship, because you can't be honest about what you're doing, because anyone you're honest with is obviously going to have a problem with this.
But if I stop it, though, altogether, like if I never go back to doing it...
If you stop it and you get some treatment, and you make this part of the narrative of your life, you can put it all behind you and maybe then not tell people. It won't have the same power over you as it does now. But the kind of people that would be okay with this are not going to be great guys. And so you're just setting yourself up for a situation where you can't have a relationship. And, you know, if you really want a relationship, and when you get tired of this, when this stops working for you, just remember these words: get help, okay? And stop projecting it. Stop rationalizing it, and stop projecting it all onto the man. That the man sees it as a bad thing, and it's going to hell. And that's all BS. Stop it. Just make some healthy choices, okay?
Okay.
All right, but you're going to have to be honest if you're going to have a relationship. Ooh, here's a question for Gregory. Gregory, this is David.
Hi, David. Hey, David, are you out there?
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I got to tell you, I'm a huge, huge 24 fan. Like, I don't miss any episode. Like, whatever I'm doing, I come home and I love you on the show.
Thank you very much. You watch it real time? You watch it with the commercials and everything?
Yeah, everything.
Dedication.
Everything. I don't do any of that TV stuff.
Okay.
So, the last couple of weeks, the vice president, you know, he's trying to, like, upstage you maybe. So I had a... idea. Maybe you can like get Jack Bauer to be your running mate for the next election.
Ooh, I think
you'd vote for him.
That'd be a national ticket right there.
Exactly. Jack has been like just doing everything, you know, for the country.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys can actually, you can be vice president. I think he would make a better president.
I had a feeling that probably would be the consensus. Let Jack be president. That's right.
He's too impulsive, though. He can't be controlled. He'll set off a bunch of nuclear weapons and things.
Yeah. As his daughter said, whenever he shows up, people die.
Yeah, we can have Dr. Drew there, too, on the cabinet, you know.
Oh, thanks, David.
That's good.
I'll be the Surgeon General or something.
Yeah.
There's always these chemical bombs going on he can advise on, you know.
The treatment they're in.
I mean, I should start begging to be on this show, too, like I've begged to be on multiple of the shows. I, by the way, got to do Robot Chicken the other day and watch Seth Green work, which was amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, Dave, is that it?
It's an honor. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, buddy,
thank you, David. Take care.
All right, this now is Lori.
Hey.
Hey, Lori, what's happening?
Oh, not much.
You're on with Greg Ritson from 24.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
We're TiVoing it. We watch it all at the end.
Well, that's okay. Some people like to have it, you know, all at once.
All at the end of the season, you mean? You pile them all up?
Yeah, I know. I hate the suspense. After a week, I'm like, oh, I got to watch it.
So you wait till the end of the season and watch them all. You just sit there for 24 hours and watch it.
Well, it's a weekend thing, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. So.
Interesting idea for some parties.
I was actually calling because I'm married. I've been married for a year and a half. I've known my husband for about 4 years. And he doesn't like to go down on me at all. And he likes it when I go down on him, and he really wants me to all the time. And I don't. And, like, now I see myself getting angry with him. And I'm just wondering if there's some way that I can, like, rationalize it to him, saying, like, you know, fair is fair. If I go down on you, you got to go down on me. I've known him for 4 years. He's done it probably 10 times for me. Mm-hmm. For him, 50 at least. I mean, so many times it's hard to count.
But she is counting, nonetheless. Yeah. It's hard to keep.
There's a scorebook somewhere.
I don't count. I'm just guessing. You know, it's not really a score kind of a deal.
Oh, let's face it, it is.
I mean, it is to me because I feel like I'm losing, you know?
Yeah.
What should you do, Greg?
Oh, what should she do? It sounds like you feel like you're missing out, or it feels like you feel you're being dissed or not. It sounds like you are keeping score. I'm doing this. Why won't he do this?
There's no mutuality.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And also, my guess is, she feels that she's not being respected, or she's being found unattractive.
Oh, does he say anything like that to you?
No, I mean, he's talked about, you know, grooming, so I keep it short. You know, whatever he wants, I'll do it. But he's always like, I mean, take a shower, and then we'll, you know, like, we have to, like, plan it out. There's no, like, spur of the moment. But he, like, rips off his pants. He's like, hey, baby. I'm like, hey, baby, my foot, you know?
Guys.
I kind of, in your camp, Lori. Yeah, guy,
yeah,
it's a typical guy.
I mean, it is a typical guy thing. Guys love to be gone down on. It's just, whether it's power or.
Mr. President.
Or they don't have to work hard. We won't make any references to Oval Offices and things, but, yeah.
No, and you know what? I used to really love doing it, and I still do. You know, it's very sexual for me. And
oh, you spoiled him. Ah, ha, ha.
That's probably what it was, because when we were first together, it was, like, great, and we were totally intimate. But now.
Oh, boy. That's like, bad, Lori.
Did he go down on you more prior to you being married?
Of course.
Well, he did?
Well, it was, all of it happened, I think, in the first 2 years that we were together.
Do you only orgasm with oral sex?
No.
Oh, excuse me, pardon. I beg your pardon. How dare I?
I like it. I mean, there's nothing. I think our sexual relationship is good. I mean, we can talk about lots of things, and this is not news to him. I talked to him about it, and he says to me, you know, you're right, and I thought about doing it the other day. And to me, it's like, you know, well, you thought about it, and you didn't tell me about it. Like, how am I supposed to know you're thinking about it? I mean, but really, it doesn't make me feel any better either, because you didn't do it. Like, why don't you love me enough? You know, what the hell's the problem? I mean, what's the problem here?
Oh, boy.
What would you say to somebody like that?
Oh, I would. What would I say? Honestly,
I'll say it to him. I guess I'll be like, you know what?
Well, what does he say when you threaten to withhold? I hate to go there, but what does he say?
That's not fair, and
you can't withhold that from me because, but I mean, it's different.
That sounds like your argument back at him then.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I would say,
quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Me, you.
And I would deal with, a kid, you know, it's just, hey, look, here are the expectations. When you fulfill, you get a reward. If you don't, it's time out. That's it. That's very simple.
But I always seem to like cave in before he does because
I know that's the problem. Again, just like with a kid, you cave in. He knows he's going to pressure you right on in, and he'll go there every time, and you'll cave, and that'll be that. Yeah. So he doesn't really believe you when you try to set those limits. And I think he can learn to be okay with this pretty easily.
I think he believes me because we're going on. It's been 4 months. 5 months, and he's just like, I mean, it's almost on a daily basis, like, hey, so are you thinking about, and I mean, I feel bad too sometimes because he'll touch me when I'm laying in bed, and I know what he wants, like, I can read his mind, I'm like, no way, he's like, but I just took a shower, and I'm like, I don't care, dude, I just took a shower too. So, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking for
some. Have you had a real serious heart-to-heart with him about how important this is to you and how much you miss what you guys used to have together?
Yeah.
And how you're into a cycle of sort of resentment.
Yeah, I told him this. I mean, I've told him all this stuff before. But the thing is, my personality is the type that I get really upset about something, and I tell you about it, and you agree to work on it in the future, and then I'm like, okay, good, it's settled. And then it'll rebuild another whatever it is. It's like the pressure at the bottom of a volcano that just all of a sudden it'll surface, and once it's
Yeah,
gone,
but he's never required to change, and he never does, and you've got to see to it that he does. There's really nothing really to discuss here.
You just stick to my guns and say, look, this is it.
stick to your guns. This is important to me, and that's it. You really have to. You have no choice, Laura. I'm sorry if it's that important to you. Take a quick call from Tanya.
Yes?
Hey, Tanya, out there?
Hi.
Hey.
So, I have a problem.
Yeah.
I started smoking really late. Like, I was already 21.
Smoking weed really late?
Yeah.
Well, compared to all my friends, I didn't smoke when I was in high school. I never smoked. I moved out, and I smoked for the first time, and I became the biggest stoner for, like, 6 months. And then all of a sudden, I can't smoke anymore. Like, it gives me anxiety attacks.
Right.
So stop.
That is actually very characteristic of marijuana, is that I wonder if you really were an addict, though. Was it just the greatest thing ever when you started getting going with it?
Yes, it was. It was like I would wake up and get high and go to school, wake up, get high and
All right. So that's true marijuana addiction. Well, in all cases of marijuana addiction.
But it was only for 6 months.
I understand. And that's kind of quick. But in most cases, it's a few years down the line that it sort of wears off. People start getting depressed. Then they start getting anxious. They have trouble completing tasks or initiating tasks. And they'll smoke more pot then or get better pot, and that really accelerates the decline into depression. Some people, though, will suddenly start getting panic attacks from the pot. And they haven't yet figured out why that happens, but it's a well-documented clinical syndrome, and their research is working on it right now, in fact. And it will continue that way. It's not going to suddenly go away. In fact, I have a couple patients that have lifelong panic disorder induced by marijuana. Very strange. And no one knows what the mechanism is yet for that.
Do you think it's partly that panic attacks are about things that haven't happened? They're about things in something they're not taking care of?
No, these are
like
biological
that?
Events. These are almost seizure-like.
Okay, it's a chemical thing.
Yeah.
It was like one day I smoked and I was like, whoa, it's making me feel horrible. And I had like an attack. And then I kept trying it afterwards. Like maybe it was just that one time and it just didn't stop. It was getting worse and worse. Every time.
You kind of thought you were going to die, right?
Yes. Eventually, I thought I was going to die. I even said
that's the feeling they get. They feel like they're dying. Anytime they show up at the emergency room with the panic from this. Yeah. And it goes away. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to panic overall, but you will continue to have panic anxiety every time you smoke pot. So that's done, Tanya. Sorry. We took your friend away.
Well,
if you have trouble with that, if you have an impulse to move on to other things, particularly amphetamine and alcohol is where people typically go,
done any other drugs.
Okay, well, stop right here then. Don't, because people do transition right now. And if you do, you'll need some treatment after that.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Greg Rietzen in here. He is President Logan, President of the United States.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anderson, you in there? We haven't played the Hail to the Chief. Oh, kind of. Hail to the Chief. Anything? All right, whatever. Jean Smart is his wife. What is her name on the show?
Martha.
Martha is his wife.
As in Mitchell.
Great actress.
There's a little spinoff there, yes.
This is the fifth day, i.e. fifth season of the show, but it is Gregory's second day/season on the show.
That's exactly.
And he's here to help you. More Greg, more me, more President of the United States when we return.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
everybody. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Gregory Itzen, President of the United States, 24.
Yep.
And we are talking first here to Andrew.
Hello?
I'm trying to figure what this call is about. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, I heard that there's a fan phone for 24.
Yeah.
It's a prop phone. And I was just wondering, when's the best time to call?
What is
anytime, 24/7. There what? Is, yeah. A bunch of years ago, I don't know how many seasons ago, a prop phone that they were using got on camera. And because people can stop motion things, a bunch of people saw the number. It was a real number. It wasn't one of those 555 numbers that they usually, you know, have on television. And people immediately started calling it, and we realized that this was a line to the fan base. And so it just became a line that they actually started to use. And I think, I don't know if the numbers changed. I heard about this peripherally, but I know that people still call in on it.
And people answer it?
Oh, yeah.
On the set?
No, I don't know if it's on the set, but it's a number, and I'm not sure if it's a live answer. No, I think there's actually somebody there. I know you can leave a message, but you can call it anytime.
Screeners?
Right.
Screeners, are you hearing me? Let's call this number.
Yeah, I have to get what it is. I don't know what the number is. Do you know what the number is? Is this Andrew? Do you know what the number is?
I could look it up. It's on Wikipedia. That's
there you go.
Say,
you can reach out and grab it out there
Wikipedia,
in cyberspace.
Except now everyone on Earth is piling onto it, so we'll never get through. So.
No, I tried calling it, and I just got the voicemail, and it said the mailbox was full. But
oh, well, there you go. That could be.
Sorry?
That could be. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I mean, because you're not alone, you know?
It says on Wikipedia that there's, you know, you'll call up, and sometimes even the cast members will answer. And it said the record, one woman from San Francisco talked to 5 different cast members when she called.
Sounds very satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've heard that happening. That actually sometimes, if we're working in the rings, and they'll actually do that. It hasn't happened while I've been filming anything, but I've heard it happen. Yeah.
All right, Andrew. Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
I'm just realizing. I think I've met a lot of the cast, like Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Oh yeah.
Nicest guy.
Yeah, really sweet, and you know.
And then Gene, good. Great. And
yeah.
Alicia, great. I mean, really nice cast.
And was Sean been in here?
Over the years, I mean, before he was The Hobbit and stuff, I mean, he's been coming up here for years and years and years, and I play baseball with him almost every year in the Hollywood Dodger game.
Is this hardball?
It used to be. Now it's softball.
Yeah, well, so.
Yeah. Leor, what's up?
Hey, hi. I want to tell Greg that I was in his acting class.
How's it going?
Are you the teacher?
I think I am.
Yeah. I did one of those rock star things.
Uh-huh.
The one for Scotty Doesn't Know.
Okay, how are you doing?
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Milana brought me in.
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to say
you've used
everybody else in the world now, Leor. Yeah.
All right, Leor, you have a question?
I wanted to know, what is it really, because my friends and I kind of have this bet type thing, and they're going to give me tons of, like, about $100 just to get my scrotum pierced.
Isn't it nice how your students are up to no good?
So
you want to have your scrotum pierced. You want to have an ampelang in the sack.
No, like, not through the ball, just in the sack.
Well, yeah, not through the ball, please.
We call it the dartos tunic, which is the wrinkly part of the sack.
Is that what we call
it? That's what that's called.
Okay.
Leor, you know, it's putting a foreign body through soft tissue of the body, and any time you violate a body space, you can get infection, you can get bleeding, and I'm actually surprised we don't get more infections, but the kinds of infections you can get can include even the flesh-eating bacterias, and if that gets going on your scrotum, it's bad times.
And $100, not enough.
Should I up the ante?
I think you should not do it, but
teacher speaking, for God's sakes.
Yeah, for heaven's sakes.
Coach, a big coach.
All right, Leor, take care.
Thank you. Good luck
with the ampelang or barbell, whatever you're putting in there. Donnie, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
You're on with Gregory Itzen.
I got a question for you, Dr. Drew.
Yes,
there you
sir.
Go.
My family, almost every single one of them, either has alcoholism or is addicted to crystal meth or crack or coke or whatever.
Hey, but good times.
Do what?
Nothing.
Just wondering, like, me, myself, I can drink or whatever, and I can say no and turn off drinking whenever I want, but everybody's saying that they have the gene of alcoholism, and I was wondering if this gene could hit me later in life, if it hasn't hit me now, also with drugs and stuff like that, hardcore drugs.
The answer is you can't acquire a gene. You're born with it. So if you either have it or you don't. However, it's possible that the manifestations are sort of dormant now and you have it and just don't know it. In other words, later, given the right opportunity, something may develop. Now, it sounds like you don't have it. The way you have no momentum with substances. And usually, whether one or both parents have addiction, the probability of a child getting that genetic potential is about 50%.
Really?
It's about 50%. The only exception I've seen to that, well, the typical genetic or ethnic heritage where I see an exception to that is with the North American Indians, particularly Cherokee. You see the whole family with the disease then.
I'm part Cherokee.
Oh, well, and everybody's got it?
Both my siblings do.
Yeah.
Father does, mother does. I'm also Choctaw.
Choctaw, and that whole southeastern North American Indian seems to be the one that really get the gene intensely. That doesn't mean you have to get it, but I'd certainly be very, very careful.
Now, would you suggest abstinence?
Great care in relation with substances. Great, great care. And any other thrill activities. You know, you're going to be prone to sort of be very aroused by thrill and driven towards thrill.
Right.
Right?
Okay. That was it.
That's
you.
All right. Good luck. Take care.
Thanks.
Get your family in treatment. Get them going. I mean, just because they're having intense biology doesn't mean they can't get better. Felipe.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening there?
Oh, hi, Dr. Drew.
Felipe.
Yeah, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I cannot stop attacking my own body with my fingernails, squeezing like every teeny little hair follicle to try to, and then hours will go by and it like clears my mind, but then I'm like scarred kind of, especially my arms and my legs, and I don't understand this compulsion to.
Are you tweaking?
I have prescription stuff that I'm supposed to take for ADD, and then sometimes like I'll take like a little too much of it, but I'll do it even without it though. But I mean, it does make it worse when I take Ritalin. It intensifies.
You're describing is a known side effect of amphetamines. You've got to talk to your doctor. It's called picker syndrome, and you will pick and pick and pick until you actually dig holes in your arm.
Yeah,
you gotta go talk to your doctor about it, dude. This is a bad thing. You should not be. Whether you're an addict, God sakes, you should listen. People with addiction pretty much all have ADD. You should not be taking stimulants if you have addiction and ADD. There are many other ways to treat that. Stimulants not the way to go.
You know, okay? I used to do the same thing before I ever even took Ritalin. Like when I was 14, I was doing that. Is it just an addiction thing, or I can't?
Well, it could be OCD also, but you're telling me clearly it gets worse with stimulants, and I would, you know, it's a typical thing of methamphetamine. There are OCD syndromes, you know, sort of what's called trichotillomania, where you pull your hair out and pick at things. But you need to be treated by somebody who really has expertise in this area. Ever heard of that, Gregory?
Yes. A family member has been
struggling with that.
Well, not struggling. They had to go through it, and they had to go for a while on. It wasn't Ritalin, but it was one of those amphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very smart and decided it wasn't the thing that he needed. Mm-hmm. He was going to deal in real time with the thing, but not to this degree. Not to this degree where they were actually attacking their own self.
Yeah, you're pretty bad, Shannon. Yeah. What's up? You're up with Gregory Itzen.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi. Wanted to know what it was like for you to work with Kiefer Sutherland. I called in when Alicia Cuthbert was on, and I asked her opinion, so I thought I'd ask yours.
Not to go far afield, what did Alicia say?
She said that I asked her if he could be as intimidating as he appears to be. Uh-huh. She said that he can be, and that he tends to keep everybody on their feet and just brings out the best in them. And I was just wondering, you know, how you felt.
Well, I hate to just be a copycat, but I have said this. He does keep everybody on their toes. He sets the bar high.
He's intense.
He's very, I mean, he's a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not anticipate that he would be as gentle, kind, thoughtful, well-spoken, because Jack is so damn intense.
Right.
But when he's Jack. And he brings the game. And you know, that's what the show is about, is there is no let-up. Somebody asked me, you know, what's so special about this show? And I said, nobody goes outside and has a cigarette and talks about the family. I mean, it's all about solving the problems that are going on right now, you know. So So when Kiefer works, he's a pro, and he, you know, he throws down every time. There's there's no let up. And so to work with him, for me, is a gas, because that's pretty much how I like to work, too. I prowl the set before we start a take and all of that. So
Does he have a role other than acting? Is he doing a directing or anything like that?
No, I mean, even though we talk and we get along and everything else, he's very private, so we don't talk outside of work. So I don't know what his... if he has any desires along that line to direct. I know that he really enjoys, he has said often that this role has, he's been acting all his life.
Right.
But this role has focused him in a way that nothing else has. Probably because you have to do such homework and be so on the money every moment. Anyway, to return to your question, it's fun, but it's not like, wee-haw fun. It's like, because...
rewarding fun.
It's very rewarding. It's kind of work that, most of the actors that I respect like to do. So, yeah, there's a lot of respect on the set, and he's the captain of the ship, you know what I mean? I mean, he's Jack
Bauer.
Isn't
he a producer?
Huh?
Isn't he one of the producers on
the
show?
Yes, he's one of the producers. That's often, a side perk of being the lead in the show, but I think that Kiefer also takes the job very seriously and has input about storylines and where's it going and all that sort of stuff.
You mentioned the homework. I mean, he must know that character so well by now.
Well,
you too, but he especially.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What kind of homework is he having to do at this point?
Well, it's interesting because... when you do a part long enough, first of all, it evolves to be some part of you, and you have to access some part of you in order to do this thing. And then so I can only speak from personal experience. Now that I've played Logan to a certain degree, I get a script and I can sort of, it's like you sort of sink down into it. That's the only way I can think of it. You sort of sink down.
Oh my God,
they're playing my song.
That's not Hail to the Chief.
It's a little Sousa, though. Thanks.
He's going to tell us about acting anyway.
Oh, is this about? Well, we'll raise that acting flag high. Anyway, you can access it a lot easier once you've been playing these guys for a while.
Right,
so my
right.
guess is he can go to Bauer pretty damn quick. You know, and that level of intensity that he has. Watch him. I don't know if this is not a good thing, but watch him. Whenever he's on screen, even if he's alone in a room, he's checking every corner all the time.
Mm.
Part of his character is talking to the phone. He's looking all around. I notice that right away. He ups the energy level just by being in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm,
and that's pretty cool and a lesson to be learned for other actors.
That's Gregory Itzen. He is the president of the United States on 24. Raul.
Oh, hello, yeah?
Hey, Raul, go.
Oh, who's this?
This is Greg Itzen, and there's Dr. Drew on the other side.
All right.
Hey, about that. I know Lewis. Well, I have a question. Well, my question is that I have a small penis.
I just get bogus all over that call. I'm gonna try somebody different. Jason, okay. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, what's going on there, Jason?
All right. So me and my girlfriend have been together for about a month now.
Yeah.
And two nights ago, we were having intercourse. We have intercourse on a daily basis, and I accidentally gave her anal, and it wouldn't be the first time.
It wasn't the first time?
The first time was on purpose, and we talked about it, and she told me that she didn't want anal and everything. She told me that it's just too much for her. And then the second time was truly an accident, and now she's avoiding my phone calls, and she won't talk to me. I don't know.
Right.
Is this normal? Does she think I'm weird, do you think? Or what do you think I should do?
I think you should... hold for just a second, so we're going to take a little break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Gregory Itzen from 24, President of the United States, President Logan, Dr. Drew here. More you, more Greg, more me, when we return.
Loveline
will be right back.
There we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew here. Gregory Itzen in with us tonight. He is President Charles Logan on 24. Martha. Oh, no. Anderson, that doesn't do it. I mean.
He has to campaign at some point, right?
Yeah, I need Hail to the Chief. He is already the president.
Hail. You don't have Hail to the Chief?
I got a lot of stuff.
What's wrong with you, Anderson?
I got a lot of stuff, but I don't have Hail.
Okay.
I'm going to you say president?
Thank you. If elected, I will. No, that's okay.
If re-elected,
we got to get back. Anderson, we got to get back to Jason, who accidentally had anal sex with his girlfriend. Jason.
Yes.
So accidentally. Now, I want you to be honest with me. I'm assuming she's not. Oh, by the way, this, that music reminded me of Isaac Hayes. Did anybody, Anderson, see South Park tonight?
No, I got a T-bone, though.
Oh, my God.
You saw it?
Don't give anything away, Drew.
Anderson.
What'd I tell you? I could not wait, right?
Oh, my God. I sat down, and I thought, oh, we're going to read about this in the paper tomorrow. This is, I suggest everyone run to their TiVo and watch the South Park for tonight. They went absolutely nuts on Scientology and on poor Isaac Hayes.
Did they create a real fast episode or something?
As always, they put it together in about, must have been 48 hours.
Please.
And it is so far over the top. And I'm a South Park fan, and I think, and by the way, I think it's pure genius.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, you have to just put your seatbelt on, ladies and gentlemen. This is, you're going to read about it in the paper.
Can we end the show early? Because I'd love to go home and watch it.
I recommend it. I think it's anybody over 19 or 20, especially. I don't want any young folks seeing this. They just went berserk. I'll just say that. And by the way, it would have been far less problematic had they just aired the damn Scientology show.
Yeah.
For the Scientology.
Well, obviously, if they threw down on these guys.
They absolutely.
They wanted to rerun the Scientology one last week, and then Comedy Central last minute said no.
I know. Well, instead, they ran something else, and tonight they just went off. So, anyway, Jason, tell me what you love with me. Is this, and I'm assuming the girlfriend's not listening?
Nicole. Jason. I don't know if I really want to say a real name.
No. I don't want that. Yeah, well, let's actually block that out. So we're going to drop the name.
Never heard that.
And I want you to level with me. What do you think she's listening right now? Jason.
I have no idea, honestly.
I want you to be honest
with her since then.
I've got a little bogus flavor here, by the way. But I want you to, you get your BS meter going, don't you?
Okay.
But I'm gonna play ball here with you. I want you to be honest with me. Was it really a mistake?
Was it?
Oh, it's not bogus.
I don't understand.
You can pick up bad acting, can't you? What's that?
I don't understand what the problem is with anal sex. Like,
you don't understand what the problem is?
It feels good. Why not?
See if he can find
it. It feels good for you.
He needs to find his implicit cues here. You need a little acting coaching here, Gregory. Because his acting is way. I don't buy it.
Well, you come on. You know what's going on here. I mean, first of all, was it an accident?
Yeah, it's bogus, right, Jason?
No, it's not, actually. It's not bogus. I don't care if you put me on air. Maybe you could just give me some advice or something to do.
All right, here's the deal.
Is there something wrong with anal sex, wanting it?
No, but you hurt her.
It means you're totally gay, Jason. You're a homosexual.
No, Anderson hasn't called out his
body. I'm not gay.
No. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
I have a girlfriend. I think I still do.
You already have a pirated copy of Brokeback Mountain.
Hang on, Anderson. Gregory, what do you think?
Well, it sounds like you have to understand that it's I don't want to say two-way street. It's about her right now.
It
feels good to you. It's, I guess, tighter, et cetera, and all of that, and with the forbidden and all of that that goes along with that excitement. But you're in a relationship with somebody else, and if it bothers them, then you have to be respectful of how they feel. And if they don't like it, then talk about it. And if they still don't like it, then don't do it.
Right. It hurt her.
Yeah.
And first of all, if it isn't bogus, I certainly don't believe this was an accident, because that's not like, it's hard to slip and fall into somebody's anus. So you can't really do that. And especially one that is
an accident, because she was pissed off about it.
Right. And especially one that is extremely painful hurt. That's really like having sex with a bobcat or something. That isn't an accident. That's a very highly concerted, focused effort on your part. And it hurt her, and maybe this relationship wasn't meant to be. Maybe those instincts of hers to pull back are right, because you guys sort of aren't working together. And, that's the way it goes. You're 19. You learn about relationships as you go through that. You're not supposed to be with someone 19 the rest of your life, necessarily.
And the other thing was, just to go back to what you said, it's not wrong to like it. not wrong to like it, but your partner has to be your partner.
Yes.
You agree on this, that it's an okay thing to do.
This was something earlier we were talking about, is mutuality in a relationship.
Exactly.
It's got to go both ways. Candy, speaking of that, what's up, Candy?
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi. My question is, hello?
I just want to warn you, I may have to put you on hold, too, across the commercial break, but go ahead and tell us what the question is.
Okay. My question is, my boyfriend has a hot sauce fetish. He wants to put hot sauce on his penis and have sex with me. I want to know if there was, like, any, like, problems or complications that could happen with that or anything.
That's your bailiwick. there's burning going on.
Wick being the appropriate sort of reference there. Yeah, it can be an unpleasant thing, most definitely. The hot chemical in there is called capsaicin. And that exposed to mucosal surface, meaning the lining of the vagina, and even sort of thinner skin like the penis, can be terribly irritating, can cause, you know, really unpleasant experiences and numbness and vaginitis and, I mean, rashes. This is not a good idea, okay? And I would not even call it a fetish. I would just call it more of like a dare.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would be pleasant for him.
Okay.
Except for that brand Tabasco, I think it's made for this purpose.
Tabasco sauce. Thank you, Anderson. Thank you. I want to know who the J.O. is sitting next to her to put her up to that call. We have to take a break, though. Stay on hold, Candy. Maybe I won't explore who the guy is next to you that made you make that call. Mm-hmm. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Gregory Itzen is our guest. He is President Charles Logan. He's the President of the United States on 24. You definitely know him. And we will be taking your calls after this. Anderson is filling my mind with all kinds of nonsense. He was
trying to distract you, I think.
I don't quite what his point. What was the point of that, Anderson?
I was just because you love system, and I was telling
I love
you
system.
This is system, and it's not really system-esque. I said that they're kind
of... No,
I know,
no.
I get it. I get it, though. I see system in this. Not enough John, though.
Sounds like they're playing one of those things that you cut eggs with.
All right, everybody.
I've never had a mandolin or something.
Enough about System of a Down. This is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Our guest, Gregory Itzen. He is President Charles Logan on 24. Everybody, I think, knows him. And he is the... Now, I don't want to... I don't know.
What?
You've used the word spineless to describe the character already.
Many people have, yes.
And people don't like him very much. But I keep expecting him to turn around. I'm expecting greatness from him at some point. No, really.
I've had greatness thrust upon me.
At some point, I think he's taking his time enough with decisions now that I'm thinking they're going to dump something on us that going to show something positive about this character. And I'm expecting the Gene Smart character, too. I mean, that's such a rich, interesting character.
Please, yeah. I can't tell you whether you're right or not.
So you have to keep watching. It's Monday
right.
nights.
Stay tuned in.
Monday nights, 9 o'clock on Fox. I just realized the first time I've said that, but I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Candy. Now, Candy has a boyfriend who wanted to put Tabasco sauce. Is that what you decided it was, Anderson? Tabasco sauce on the penis and have sex, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me, is there a guy sitting next to you?
No, he's actually on the phone next to me.
Okay. God bless you, Candy, for playing along with us. What's his name?
His name is Marcus.
Marcus. Hey, Marcus. The one breathing hard into the phone, Marcus.
No, he's on the phone.
Oh, I know. I hear him. I can hear him breathing.
No, it's me on the phone. He's on another phone. I have two phones with me.
Oh, okay. And did he prompt you to ask this question?
Yeah, he's been talking about it for a while, and he told me to call in and ask and see what you guys would say.
But I think he prompted. My question is, what did he have to do to persuade you to make this call?
He didn't have to do anything. He
okay,
didn't
okay, it's
me.
A bogus call is what I'm saying. And, some, and
no.
Women don't make bogus calls. Only their a-hole boyfriends make them do it.
It's not a bogus call.
You would not let him do this to you, would you?
That's why I called in to ask.
No, you. What you first said was my boyfriend likes, and then so our first hit of this was that this is something that he's tried already. Is it?
No.
Okay, but does he put hot sauce on his penis?
Yeah.
Alone? I mean, then does he, you know, beat himself up? I mean, you haven't partaken of this, but he does this.
No, I haven't partaken of it yet.
But he does it by himself.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
That's not a good lubricant, I wouldn't think.
No,
would be hot sauce.
He would be irritated all the time.
Yeah.
And by the way, it can cause numbing of the skin surfaces eventually.
I ask you, I mean, introducing food products into your vagina is not a good idea at any...
Generally not a good idea. And anything that sort of alters the flora and fauna of that area.
Yeah.
Things need to be very inert. And otherwise you get all kinds of bacterial vaginal infections or yeast, that kind of thing. Let's talk about men for a second. Let's see. David. What's up, David? David?
Yes, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, hey, how's it going? I want to say hello to you, Mr. President, too.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you, Anderson.
I have to say, though, that that I am disappointed that David Palmer was assassinated. That was very sad.
A lot of people unhappy.
You are not alone, and you are not alone. And Dennis Haysbert and I golf on a regular basis, and we talk about that fact.
He is, I would like to see a real version of him in our country, but unfortunately it probably won't happen anytime soon. But
you mean you would vote for David Palmer for president, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I love his politics. And the way he thinks and the rationale, especially season 3 and 4, when he had the whole impeachment, everything, that was, I believe him 100%, or I used to, I should say.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Dr. Drew, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm gay and I'm 21, and my boyfriend and I, when we're together, I ejaculate really fast. Is that normal? Or no? I mean, you know, I could go in like in a minute's time when he takes 4 or 5 minutes.
His range is a little more in the normal range, but it's nothing abnormal per se about you. I mean, if you sort of graphed out, you know, the average duration, most guys are in sort of the, I think, 4 to 8 range probably, and so some guys in the 1 to 2 minute range. And when it's two men involved, I would think that would be an asset. Really, no?
Well, it the problem here is that, you know, it's like I feel bad because my partner takes an extra 4 or 5 minutes and I do it real fast. So
no,
it's
no.
Kind of unfair to him, and I don't know if
why don't you work on him first?
I guess I could, but
I mean, this is something that men and women contend with all the time. Mm-hmm. And in pretty much most cases, the women take a little longer, or quite a bit longer sometimes, and they have to kind of accommodate that.
Okay, I see. I just I don't know. I mean, we've used I'm in a committed relationship, so we don't always use condoms, but I've tried to use that to desensitize, and that still doesn't work. So
yeah, but everybody kind of has their rhythm, their clock. And it's very hard to adjust that. So, you know, he's 5 minutes, you're 2 minutes, whatever. The only ways that sort of easily change that is maybe masturbate more frequently or masturbate before you have an interaction with him, that sort of thing. Try to sort of take control. But it's really about managing what is. Rather than trying to change what is, why don't you adjust your behaviors to what is? You know what I'm saying?
So there's nothing per se wrong with me, or I'm not...
No, nothing. I mean, you know, people could argue that's premature ejaculation, which is a common thing. And there are going to be medications out very soon that will lengthen that by a substantial margin. Basically, the medicines that are very, very much related to the serotonin reuptake inhibiting medicines, the antidepressants, they're coming up with very short-acting versions of that because it's well-known to suppress ejaculation, those medicines.
Yeah.
And so guys can take it. It stays in the system about 30 minutes, and during that time, it will prolong ejaculation. Not out yet. They got held up at the FDA. Lucy, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew. I have a question.
We're staying with the gay theme tonight. What's out there?
Yeah, I'm a lesbian. My girlfriend obviously is. And she wears a strap. She's pregnant. And she wears a strap, and she gets really crazy with it. She gets very vigorous. And sometimes afterwards, her belly gets hard and it's sore. And I was wondering if it's okay for her to be doing
how,
that.
How pregnant is she?
4 months.
That is probably what's called a Braxton Hicks contraction, but those are contractions. If the abdominal wall gets sort of tight and sore in the pregnant woman, that's a contraction. And you can certainly stimulate it through vigorous activity and whatnot. So I would absolutely, I don't know how you bring this up with your gynecologist or how communicative you are with him or her, but you got to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was calling you, because she was really embarrassed to ask her doctor.
Well, at least, you know, when I have sex with my girlfriend, I develop these contractions. Do I have to worry about them? Are they absolutely nothing? Can I just keep going? Just you know, say it's during sex, that's all.
Well, yeah, we did ask her about that, and she said to drink a lot of water when that happened.
Well,
drink a lot of water.
Yeah, it seems to me she needs to back off a little bit. I mean, just common sense would tell you, cool out, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell her.
Yeah, you don't want to deliver now.
No, absolutely not.
You want to get up to about 35 weeks, please, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Interesting calls tonight. Yeah. Gregory, it's in 24. I blame you. Nick, what's up?
It's my fault.
Hello?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, when I was 8 years old, I had a hernia surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do an incision on my right testicle to, like, pull it down.
Oh, that's not a hernia. That's a non-descended testy.
But they also did a hernia.
Like, okay.
Also, so I don't know if it was two different things. But
yes.
But now I'm 21, and, you know, after sex especially, that ball or that testicle will hurt. Like it's empty. Like it feels like it's, like, sucking back up, and, like, I have to pull it down.
Yeah, they can do that. There can be an intense cremasteric response, and it can kind of pull back up into the inguinal canal. And maybe put your hand down there when you're ejaculating so you keep it down in the scrotum, and you ought to talk to your surgeon about that just to make sure there isn't something like a torsion or something going on, because there shouldn't be pain.
Oh, really? So yeah. I may have to have surgery again?
No, I doubt it. But, I don't want to just tell you, talking to you on the radio, don't worry about it until someone's actually examined you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's about like 30 to 40% smaller than the other one. Is that...
That's kind of like typical of non-descended testes. They don't necessarily develop normally. And so
okay.
It is something. Somebody should take a look at that, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Here we're going to go for more with Greg Itzen. He's the President of the United States on 24. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Monday nights, right. 9 p.m. Yeah. Fox.
Absolutely, man. Don't ever miss it.
Cool.
President, I hate to love you, man. I've never been so passionate about a show and just so uptight and get so aggressive and angry when watching you and some of the stupid, you know, crap that you
do. Wait, you hate to love you. You love to hate him.
I like hate to love you, actually. That's an interesting twist on that. Yeah, okay.
That's great. But, yeah, I mean, I was just kind of wondering, you know, in the last couple of seasons, a lot of important people have died off.
Yeah,
and, I was just wondering—is that kind of like an end of contract for them, or just something you guys wanted to throw out there, or some new people coming in, or what's going on with that?
Well, it's definitely an end of contract for them. I'm of the opinion that these guys are sort of anti-populist.
Anybody that becomes likable has got to be killed
off.
As
I say, if you fall in love with somebody on 24 because they're going to die. I think they do it on purpose to shake the cage. I mean, the whole show is about, you know, that sort of keeping people on their edge of their seats and off balance and all of that. I think sometimes people die because they feel that storyline has run out, or, there's a lot of arguments about that. I just think that they think it's a good idea. I think that, for instance, we were talking earlier, I don't know if it was on the air or not, they don't let you know what's going to happen. As an actor, you don't know. Every time you open a script, it's a surprise. You could die in a script that you open up. So,
oh, what would that feel like? Yeesh.
That would, well, that's a lot of, I mean, we can get into the psychology of that as
no,
an actor.
No, but I mean, you
feel left out of the party. You feel like the family has deserted you.
Right,
you feel like you're a cast adrift, besides the fact that you have to start going and auditioning for things again. So I think they do this with an eye to just keeping everybody off balance.
They do a great job at it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and like you say, I mean, other people have said, we yell at you on the screen. We yell at the television, and people don't want to be bothered when that show is on.
Exactly.
They want to give it their total focus. So, I mean, they must be doing something right that way.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, it's the first show I've actually ever watched. I mean, no offense to the writers, but it just seems like every season it's the same typical kind of, you know, not the scenarios kind of change, but it's the same thing over and over again, just from what I noticed, but I don't get sick of it.
Works. Cool. Yeah, you're not going to get sick of it. That's the whole point. That's why they keep producing it that way. It's a little formula that's worked.
And what a dilemma for them to have to come up with a new terrorist thing every year. I mean, you know, there's only so much in the book. It's how they attack it. This year they've got this president who can't make up his mind. And, you know, before this they had David Palmer, who was very assertive and was sure of himself and everything else. So it's a new curve they've thrown at the audience this year. So it's just another way to skin the cat.
1-800-LOVE-191. That is Gregory Itzen. He plays the President of the United States on 24 Monday nights, 9 o'clock on Fox. And I'm also interested.
They're a little slurred.
The Sousa marches are not necessarily what I'm looking for. I'm also interested in talking to anybody that saw the South Park tonight, getting their thoughts on what they saw. Seeing if, without giving it away, we can't give the substance away to Anderson because he's running home shortly to
unacceptable
watch the episode. Savi?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hi, Savi.
Hi. okay, so my question or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, my boyfriend, he's really, like, I don't know if something's missing up there, but I feel, like, really repetitive with him. Like, I'll tell him something, and I have to keep repeating myself about every other day about it, and I feel like it's getting really old. I tried to break up with him, and he just, like, didn't get the hint, you know? And he gets, like, kind of, like, psycho about it almost, you know? And then, like, I try to work with him and stuff, and, like, I'll try to tell him, you know, well, this is what we need to work on, and he'll still keep doing it. It's like he doesn't even hear what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know.
Hey, Savi, hey. Uh-huh. Tell us, what did you tell him? What exactly happened?
What did I tell him?
Yeah.
Like, I would try to tell him to take me out and stuff, and he wouldn't. Like, he'd be like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. So I'm like, you know, it's getting really boring. See you later.
All right, here's the deal. Like,
yeah.
Guys, it's not that he doesn't hear you. It's that he doesn't understand the meaning of this for you.
Uh-huh.
For a male, the whole idea of conversation and spending time eyeball to eyeball is a little bit boring.
Uh-huh.
And it has nothing to do with sex and relationships as a young male sees it. Would you agree? Uh-huh.
Young male,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
is the key.
Older male, you get into it later. But your estrogen starts rising, testosterone goes down, you lose your will to live.
Oh, that too.
You lose your will to live, and you're interested in conversation
and
cuddling.
We'll talk now, honey.
Yeah. But at 19, guys are interested in
activity. He's not 19. I'm 19. He's
all right, up to 30.
He's 23?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young males.
Still a young male.
Yeah, young males are interested in activity and physicalizing things. And they are tired, and they don't understand what you mean when you say you want to go out. If you use a word like romantic, they hear Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Right on.
And what you have to teach them is what you experience by conversation. There are functional MRI scans now on men and women that show that women actually have arousal and sexual drive in response to intimate conversation.
Now men should take a note there.
Right. Yeah. If you're interested in having sex, that's how you get there. When women talk about foreplay, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about you attacking their genitalia. They're talking about the conversation. Men, that is bizarre concept. You like, what? What the hell does that have to do with sex? And you have to bring a young man around about that because they don't know. Their brain is put together differently. And so although he hears the words, it doesn't really make sense to him. It's so far from his experience, he can't really kind of put his head around what you're talking about. So you have to bring it around, make it clear to how important it is to you. And if you start bringing in the fact that that's how you become sexual and experience sexuality and those sorts of things, then he'll begin to get it a little bit. Okay?
Okay, well, like, but since he's not all into that and I just try to, like, get rid of him, like,
But here's the deal. You're not going to find a guy 23 or under who's actually really, truly, very genuinely into that. They will feign that and they will do that, but they will do the guy that's is willing to do it has to understand what it is for you and have to care about you. And if this guy cares about you, he'll
relationship then. Right?
No, I'm not saying. No, you're missing the point entirely. But you're making the case that every relationship with every young male will be pointless. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying a guy that cares about you, if you tell him how you experience that, because he doesn't experience that, you have to tell him what it means to you. He'll bring it around. He'll start to do that if he understands what it means for you. Okay. Just understand, he doesn't experience it the same way. It doesn't mean the same thing for him, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay.
Bye.
That's one of the biggest problems I have is getting young males to engage in conversation.
Sure, I understand. And the thing with most women is they just want you to listen.
They want you to listen and pay attention.
Listen and pay attention.
And give a rat's ass. You want you to care about what they're saying,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah,
and guys are capable of that, especially if they understand what women are experiencing with that. But they, to them, men, it's like, what the heck? What? What?
I know.
How could that be?
Trust me, I know.
Let's talk to Ashley.
Hi,
Ashley, what's happening?
Okay,
My boyfriend that wasn't is 21.
No.
And
hey, hang on a second. Ashley, excuse me one second.
Sure.
Anderson.
I'm looking for you.
That's
mismarked, I guess, on the internet.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Ashley, what's up?
Okay. My boyfriend's 21, and he was married and divorced very quickly. He was divorced about a little more than a year ago.
Well, it must be her fault. Must be. She's a bitch.
Yeah, she cheated on him.
Oh, yeah. Of course it's her fault. Of course. Of course.
And we've been together now for, like, 8 months. And I haven't told my parents that he was divorced, and they are very, very Christian. And I'm just, I don't know how to tell them, because I'm already kind of, like, they're going to be inclined to think that it won't work out.
I'm inclined to agree with your parents. Just a first brush. Yeah. I don't want to condemn the guy, but just a first brush.
What?
Oh, Ashley. You've got a lot to learn.
He's got a track record already, I think is what Dr. Drew is saying.
He has a track record. I'm sure he had something to do with that divorce. And
but it wasn't his fault.
Well, how old are you, Ashley?
22.
So, you're a little older than he is.
Oh, like 6 months.
No, that's not, I'm not making a point of it. I'm just pointing that out.
Here's one of the things that concerns me. He chose her. And the guy that chooses someone that would behave like that has a potential to not be so great themselves sometimes when the shoe is on the other foot. It just worries something. I don't know him. I don't want to condemn him. It maybe was just one of those random events. But if I were the parent, I would immediately go, huh? What? I got to thump this guy.
So, but is there, like, if we stay together, should I tell them now or just wait till, like, see if it works out? Or
I always think, tell them now. I always think honesty is the best policy because it's going to come out sooner or later. And the longer you wait, if they find out after the fact, they're going to resent the fact that you'd tell them straight up. But I don't know what your relationship is with you, like with your parents, how much you hide from them in the first place and all that sort of stuff. So my impulse would be you're going to have to sit down and say this. Also, I know that your sympathy is on his side and you're getting just his side of the story about the breakup, too. But I don't know what Drew should answer this to, but I think you have to be honest sooner rather than later.
I would agree, and I'm consulting my crystal ball right now, Ashley, about you.
You really think that he's
going to... Ashley, hold on. Do you come from a big family?
I have two sisters, that's it.
Two sisters, and where do you fall in line on the pecking order? Youngest?
Middle child.
And was it a very controlling environment you grew up in?
Kind of, yeah.
And was there a lot of, like, what's that?
I'm like the outsider in my family. Like, my family is very, very Christian, and, like, they have a big problem with me, like, sleeping with my boyfriend or drinking and doing anything, so.
All right. So, and aside from the religious, though, was there sort of, like, a very aggressive quality to the parenting?
I don't know, like, not really.
Was there any chaos in the home growing up?
No.
It was pretty stable.
Still together, yeah.
But it wasn't an unpleasant environment to grow up.
What's that?
It was an unpleasant environment to grow up.
Oh, no.
Okay. I think, how many boyfriends have you had?
I guess one serious before this.
All right. Here's my basic advice. I agree with Gregor and what he has said, and I would just say slow it down. You're already buying your wedding dress, for God's sakes. It's a guy you've just started dating. It's a boyfriend. You like it. You're having a good time with him. Do not marry this guy. I'd be very concerned about him. Take input from your friends. Find out what his previous relationship was like. Find out really who this guy is. Enjoy it. Date. But you're way too young to get married right now. You need to be thinking about marriage with this guy. And if he's pushing you in that direction, he's even more suspect. I'm really concerned about him then. So just slow it down. Take it easy. Find out who this guy is. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Gregory Itzen. He is President Logan on 24. Monday nights, 9 o'clock. Fox 24, of course. I'm Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Back.
There we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Gregory Itzen, Charles Logan, the President of the United States on 24, and we were just talking about your kids.
That's right. That's right. I think my daughter is listening tonight up there in Davis, California. So, Julia, I'm sending out my love, and I hope you're having a good time. And, oh, yeah, I said hi to you. And my son, Will, who did not return my call today, but hopefully he's listening, too.
And I'm sending Julia my condolences and her pre-med classes, which is a very, very, it's a very, very stressful period of training because you're basically dedicating your entire collegiate experience to hell.
Yeah.
And you don't know if having now dedicated that experience, you sort of relinquished that experience to the training, to the academic training,
yeah,
without knowing whether or not it's gonna be, there'll be any payoff.
Yeah. Or,
which is painful.
Or after you do the work, get to a certain point, is that, you know, and because you're young and everything else, the crossroads is this really, I've spent so much time doing this, this is what I really want to do.
Yeah. Medical training is great, though. It really is wonderful. I would tell your daughter, just get in somewhere. And once you're plugged into medical training, it's really quite fun.
What I love is that she loves the acquisition of knowledge, and that's pretty important. So that's cool.
Jillian.
Yeah?
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, Jillian.
How are you doing?
We're good.
Good.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know, when I was a kid, I was molested from the time I was 6 till 15.
Who was the perpetrator?
Stepfather.
Uh-huh.
He's in prison now, so, like, I did my part.
Good.
And I just wanted to know, I've been to counseling, and I'm getting better now. I'm 20 now, so I'm getting better, but I just got married. And I'm not having problems. He knows everything. He knows where I've been, and he's seen me through my worst times and everything. But I just don't think it's fair to go at him when I still have problems. But counseling isn't really working.
Hold on, you don't feel it's fair what?
I don't know, because I still have, you know, some of that emotional baggage. It's kind of hard to let go of all of that in a few years, so.
Did you say go at him?
I didn't mean go at him like that. I meant make him deal with my problems with me. I don't know, it's kind of a hard thing.
Let me give you almost an irresponsible interpretation here. First of all, I hear the remnants of the little girl voice. But
oh,
it's most,
not the little girl voice. I've heard that before.
But it's mostly gone. It's mostly gone. And I also can feel, and you know, I'm used to dealing with trauma survivors, and I'm very sort of tuned into their stuff. If you ever read my book, Cracked, that it's sort of they evoke things in me. And for you, I can feel that you're sort of, the narrative of your life is beginning to come together. Yes?
Okay. Yeah.
However, you still feel like crap about yourself, and
yeah,
you don't feel like you deserve, and you don't feel like you deserve this guy.
Yeah.
On top of that, you have a hankering for some chaos, and you're about to go do it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just like sometimes I'll just feel like just really out of control, like I can't handle.
Right. Being a nice girl and being with the nice guy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, mostly that is the result of having been sexually abused. It sort of causes you to split internally into a good self and a bad self.
Okay.
And that bad self wants some expression right now. And I would suggest you kind of really focus in therapy on that. Therapy is working. You are a lot better. You're just at a little bit of a crossroad here. And just kind of hang in and don't, I would urge you to try to contain things right now and take direction from your therapist, okay?
Okay.
All right. Do you have kids? Do you have children?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a child?
Oh, no. Okay. I can't do kids.
All right. And you really do love your boyfriend?
Husband. Really, really do.
Okay. So don't F this up, okay?
Yeah, this is one of the good things that's keeping.
Right, don't F it up because you have a hankering to do so. So just let's not do that right now, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, I do. I run an addiction recovery program. I do a lot. It's at the point now where, not so much this year, but for the last 6 or 8 years, if somebody is ill enough, has serious enough addiction that they need inpatient psychiatric, we're in a psychiatric hospital, inpatient treatment of their chemical dependency, there is nearly 100% probability of trauma. So I've been dealing almost exclusively with trauma. Trauma is sort of the fire. We take the gene and you get the trauma and you get severe addiction. That's a recipe for bad addiction.
Okay.
Bad enough to need inpatient psychiatric hospitalization when that. All right. Gregory Itzen in here. Give him some heavy calls. This is Dan.
Yeah.
What's
hi,
up?
Dan.
Dan, a little lighter on this one. Dan.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? Hello.
Good.
Hey, Dan.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I got a problem, bro.
Okay, bro.
Okay, check it out. I got this girlfriend. And then, you know, we have great sex. Our sex life is great. But then, you know, I'm spontaneous. I always want to try new things. And
So we go to a sex shop, and you know, I want to buy her a toy, and I pick out like this biggest one, right? And it's bigger than me, and most guys wouldn't want nothing bigger than them up in their grill, you know. So I mean, and also, that's not my only problem. Like, I really love this girl. I want to be with her. And then, sometimes like I get like the craving to watch somebody else have sex with her. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that's a bad impulse, right?
Well, what's wrong with this? What's going on here?
Go ahead, Gregory.
Well, what do you mean? What's wrong with that impulse?
Where's that coming from?
Is that what you're asking?
She's telling me that I don't love her. Cause, I mean, she's saying, you don't love me. If you could watch some other guy do this to me, I mean, and then, you know, that means you don't love me. And, you know, what's up with that? I do love her. I know I love her.
Well, to me, love means wanting the best for the other person. If the other person feels that having sex with somebody other than you is not making her happy, you got to listen to that. The other question I asked is, when you go to the sex shop, is she down with getting stuff like that, or is that your impulse and she's just going along with it because...
She's kind of like going along with it, but when we tried it, she started getting into it too, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but...
But okay, that was just you and her. That wasn't somebody else and you and her, right?
Yeah, that was just me and her. But now I'm taking it to another level now. Now I'm just like, you know, I was like, it's kind of like a competition. I don't know. I mean, but I'm the only one competing here, I guess. I mean, because I'm the only one that's coming up with these suggestions, you know. And I'm telling her, like, you know, what's like another guy, you know. And she's telling me I don't love her now. I mean, see, the toy things are getting old now, you know.
Yeah, you got to have the real thing, right?
Yeah, I got to have the real thing.
It can't just be a detachable penis. You actually have a male attached to it.
What's wrong with this? Yeah, we're about to get married and everything. I mean,
well, you know it's an unhealthy impulse, right?
It's an unhealthy impulse, isn't it? Is it?
Oh, yeah. You do this, your relationship's toast. Because you'll hate her eventually for doing this. You'll demean her and, you know, just Dan the Destroyer here. And why you have to demean women, I don't know. And what it is about having another penis in the mix, you know, again, there's psychoanalysts would have all kinds of fun with this. Mm-hmm. But let's take it as a bad impulse and a desire to demean, a sort of misogynistic impulse towards women. Probably surrounds something we call envy. A certain amount of envy here, and you've got to kind of destroy the thing. It's part of that same impulse that somebody wouldn't want to be a member of a club that would have them as a member. And they got to have somebody else really ruin it and soil it.
Sort of, you have to punish her for liking you.
Exactly.
Almost.
And you have to soil it by bringing another penis in, quite literally, in order for it to even be like okay. And those are all sort of yucky impulses, Dan, and just cool it.
Do you hear this?
Have the relationship, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just not
not a good impulse. Again, not a good impulse. This is Matt. Matt, what's up? You're on with Greg Rietzen.
I have 3 testicles. I want to know, like, I want to ask Dr. Drew this first.
Good, because I'm not familiar with the phenomenon. Go ahead.
Well, that's not what the call on the board here says you want to do.
Oh, I know, but I thought they were going to think it was a joke, so.
Well, let's hear what the original call was.
You just got to ask your question. You got to have some balls, man.
I got 3 testicles.
Yeah, you don't have 3 testicles.
I don't know if it's a 3rd testicle, though.
It's not. It's probably a cystocele or a spermatocele or something. You know, there's cysts that develop in the testes, and hernia sacs sometimes, and sometimes tumors. It's something a doctor needs to check out. All right. Oh, stop! Stop! Jesus, you guys! If you hear a bunch of jack offs in the background, don't take the call. All right. Let's see. Like, 3 years. Let's try this one.
Okay,
Danielle.
Hi.
What's happening?
I had a question about my boyfriend. We've been together for 3 years, and he cheated on me about a year ago with his ex-girlfriend. And I've dealt with it. I got over with it. We're happy.
Wait. Give me the details again. You're with the boyfriend how long?
3 years.
Since you were 18. Is he 21 also?
Well, 19, 2.5 years. He is 26.
And he cheated with his ex-girlfriend...
About a year ago.
And what was going on in your relationship then?
I don't know. Like, it was a long-distance relationship, and it's the first, like, long-distance relationship for him. Like, not long-distance, but long-term relationship, and we were in a long-distance relationship.
And the ex-girlfriend was just at hand?
Yeah, she was from where I was from, and he came down, and he cheated on me with her. and I found
out Danielle
about it.
Speaks in like riddles. Like, can you follow her?
I'm not exactly sure. You confuse me with long distance and long term.
Yeah, long
distance means you're having a relationship with somebody who's not in proximity to you, and you're trying to keep that string taut over distance. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we had a long distance relationship, but it was his first long term. I was his first long term relationship.
And where was the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend? Was she near him?
No, she was living where I was living at the time.
And now I'm confused again.
We're confused again. So she was also a long distance relationship.
No, like when we hooked up, we lived in the same city, and he moved to Seattle. And we had a long distance relationship.
So did that mean you would go up to visit him? He would come down to visit you, or you just had phone?
He would come down to visit me.
Okay.
And then I found out that he cheated on me with his ex girlfriend, who also lived.
He came to town and cheated without telling you he was in town?
Yeah, and I found out.
That's pretty big stuff.
Yeah, it hurt me, and we moved on, and now I live with him. We're together.
Okay. So we've sort of got that. What's the dilemma right now that you're looking to solve?
The dilemma is that I found out that he was calling her behind my back, like, recently.
Mm-hmm.
Being friends with her. I want to know why he would still call her and try to be friends with her after,
Is he hot?
Well, it could be any... Go ahead. There could be any number of reasons. I mean, and I'm sure Dr. Drew has a lot more than I have at my fingertips. First of all, it's a comfort zone. He knows her of old, and if he wants to stray, she's right there for him. He doesn't have to start a new relationship or anything like that. And you know, how long were they together?
Like 3 months.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's something amiss if he feels the need to go outside of the relationship to somebody who's, you know, an old relationship.
Does he do drugs with her or something?
I don't think so. I know that she had problems and he felt like...
Yeah, this sounds like
he was helping her, maybe?
No. They're using buddies.
Oh, interesting.
They're used together, right?
No. They didn't do drugs together.
Mm.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think that they did drugs together.
What was her drug of choice?
I don't know her.
Was he trying to help? What was this thing he needed to help her with?
She's had a lot of issues. She's younger than me, and she has a kid. Like, her family life wasn't so great. She was sexually abused. Like, she was
And he's telling you all
of this. It wasn't a good relationship.
All right, well... Personally, I would completely go off on him for maintaining the relationship with somebody. It's one thing if it was an ex-girlfriend and he'd been able to maintain boundaries with her and they'd just been friends for a long time. This is somebody that he cheated with in a rather egregious fashion, and it almost destroyed your relationship. He relinquished the right to maintain that relationship. If he doesn't break it off completely, I would leave this guy. But I tell you something, he's using with her. I can feel it. Does he have a history with some drugs or something himself? Something.
No drugs were involved. It was like...
Wait, Danielle, does he ever use at all?
No, he doesn't smoke nothing. He doesn't do any drugs. He drinks.
Does he drink heavily?
No, not like pretty average, same as me. Like, you know, we're young, we go out to the bar. He was in college, you know, drink a lot, not an alcoholic.
What does alcoholic mean to you?
Someone that, you know, needs alcohol.
No, that's advanced. That's advanced alcoholism. Alcoholics just drink in the face of consequence. And he is, it seems to me, I smell it. I smell that there's more than just enmeshment here in this relationship. And there's more going on.
When I confronted him, when I found out that he had been calling her behind my back after I dealt with the whole cheating issue, because, you know, I want to trust him. You know, we moved on. I live here with him. Like, I just... When I found out he lied about it, and then, you know, he came clean and told me that he was talking to her and that it was just like our relationship is so real that, I don't know, he felt that he said it was his problem. Like, he didn't know why he was calling her.
Yeah, it's just a load of BS. Everything you said was just total BS. And if you're believing his load of crap and he's a liar and he's cheating and he's deceiving you, he's obfuscating when you confront him, I'm telling you something. There's something going on here, Danielle. Mark my word. You call me back and tell me.
I don't think he's cheating on me anymore. I just don't know why.
Danielle, you have no reason to. This guy has given you no reason to trust him. Not one. He's cheated in an outrageous fashion. He has now been deceiving you, and then he lies about it on top of that. What? Why do you trust this guy? Are you kidding? And I guarantee, I have a crystal ball, Danielle. I'm telling you, my crystal ball does not lie. I see white powder. Imagine that. I see white powder. Just look around. Check it out. Something's going on there, okay? I tell you, do not trust this guy. Don't trust him.
My ex-boyfriend of 3 years ago still tries to call me, even though it's completely over. So I'm wondering.
Who cares?
No. You're wondering what?
Why do guys do that?
Like, why do guys do that?
Because girlfriends.
To have sex, usually.
Well, yeah, but even when they're, like, you know, 3 hours away from each other, like, never see each other.
Well, that's how this guy went down and saw her.
Well, that was a year ago.
What? Okay, Danielle. You're living in a little fantasy world, my dear. This is not going to go well. 1-800-LOVE-191, Gregory Itzen, the President of the United States, mm-hmm. President Charles Logan, on 24, Monday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. He has to take big breaths once in a while to deal with some of these calls.
It's, some of it hurts my heart. Some of it hurts my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got a question for Gregory from Scott. We'll take him when we get back. Okay. In the meantime, just a quick commercial break.
This is Loveline.
Here we go. It's Loveline, L-O-V-E 191, 1-800-L-O-V-E 191. President of the United States, President Charles Logan, 24. Gregory Itzen in here. We're going to take a quick call for him. This is Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Gregory.
Sir.
How is it working on the show now than last season? It's more. Is it more intense for you as an actor?
Oh, yeah. Well, did you say why?
Yeah, I said why.
You said why. First of all, I got my feet under me, and I know that I'm going to be around till the end of the season, so that sort of question is gone. Also, they're writing for me, and in some sort of symbiotic way, we're creating the character together.
And you've really been a central character in the story.
This
too.
Year. Yeah. I mean, I really feel in a lot of ways that the time spent discussing the dysfunctional family that is the Logans is getting equal time with the action stuff. Mm-hmm, and so it's different that way. Also, the fact that I have a wife, last year I didn't, so the a-hole, as Drew puts it, that is Logan, is explained a little more by seeing what the dilemma is that makes him, or contributes to his instability, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So I've been allowed to deepen this guy, and I do a lot of stage work, and this is the first time I've been allowed on TV to do the kind of work that I do on stage. I get a lot of screen time to actually develop this character. So, you know, I get to throw down every week, and it's very exciting. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gregory is a...
Yeah.
Sorry?
Go ahead, Scott.
I would say Gregory's a Tony Award nominated actor in Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will always remember you, Gregory, from an episode of Mad About You did.
Oh, my God.
You know what? It's just one of those things where you see a face and you say, wait a minute, what's he from? And you did an episode of Mad About You. And it was at the beginning, I think, and you wanted to get with that character, and it was her birthday, and she ended up slamming the door in your face because you said you were going to say about all marriage after, and she slammed the door in your face.
You know, I'm going to be a terrible, remember the first time somebody said, have you ever IMDb'd yourself? I said, no. And they said, well, take a look, dude.
Here it is. You want to see it?
No, it's okay. I've seen it now. And now I check, because at the end of it, there's discussions. People talk about Logan at the end of it. So I've been going occasionally to check that out. I don't remember lots of the things. It's terrible, I know.
It goes all the way back to Lou Grant, Falcon Crest.
Yeah, and I vaguely remember.
Dallas.
I couldn't tell you. I played a doctor on Dallas.
Hill Street Blues, Knott's Landing.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what the storyline was.
MacGyver.
So if you're trying to make me remember exactly what it was I wanted or did in that episode, I can't remember. I mean, I remember what you're saying. It was a romantic thing, and as often happened to me in my early career, I was a vehicle for other people to get together. But I appreciate you remembering that. I'm one of those guys that people go, oh, I know you. Did we go to school together?
The day Lincoln was shot, what was that?
That was a movie for TV, for TNT. Lance Henriksen played Abraham Lincoln, and I played his bodyguard. Another failed thing.
The guy was asleep when...
No, actually, he let me off.
Or sitting there, whatever.
The night he went to the theater.
Well, you're the one that got let off. Yeah, he got let off.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So.
But there was another guy asleep at the wheel there.
Yeah, exactly. He did have bodyguards, but they obviously failed in their mission.
Interesting.
Thanks, Scott.
Anthony, what's up?
Hey, long time, second time caller.
Nice.
I want to thank you for giving me the advice on the Xanax. I stopped and totally complete stop. Thank you very much.
Good
but
work.
I have another problem.
Yeah?
My wife charges me for sex.
Your wife charges you for sex?
Yes. I think it's...
Well, that could work, you know. At least that way you'll get what you want when you want it. If it's sort of, you know, it's sort of a fair exchange. Well, I'm just saying.
No. It's costing me $1,200 a month. She's a stay-home mother, and I just feel that before we had our child, we was having it four or five times a week, but, you know, if I don't pay, I don't get, and it just seems like...
But, Anthony, come on, we're kidding around here, but that's bizarre. What are you talking about?
He can go out and get a hooker for, like, $600 a month and say, hey, I'm just saving the family money.
No, I'm loyal to my wife. Me and my wife...
What do you mean? How did this happen? How did this come about?
I don't know. You know, we have a great, you know, life together, and it just seems
And
like,
one day she said, honey, you're going to have to start paying for this.
Basically, yes. Can we go to the bedroom? She goes, how much money you got? I'm like, what? And then she says, I need some money to go shopping. I go, okay. So I said, how much? She said, $100. I'm like, oh, geez. And then after that, it's just been a routine. Like, every time... She needs to go shopping, and every time I want to have sex, it's $100, and it's just been.
This is a bad situation, my man. This is going to create all kinds of crazy resentments, and.
How do I prevent this from happening?
Gregor, what do you think?
Oh, well, it's somewhere along the line, you capitulated and said, "Okay, I'm going to play this game
right.
If it's true," and now you're sort of committed to doing it. So, I mean, are you asking permission to say to her, I won't do what's going on? Have you talked, broached the subject to her?
Yeah.
How you feel about it?
I told her I didn't want to have to pay for it. I think that, you know, a marriage is supposed to, you know, work both ways, and I shouldn't have to pay for it. And she says, well, you know, if you want it, you know, as much as you want.
All right, Greg, we have to actually wrap up. We only got a few seconds there before we have to go to the commercial break yet again. But what I would say is to deal with this in a very structured way. You've got to put an end to this, absolutely. If she needs money and some certain amount of money to spend, you guys need to set up a budget. Yes, a budget. Decide what her expense account is going to be for that month. You agree what that's going to be, and that's what it is. And then your sex life is taken away from those financial arrangements. I am gravely concerned about this relationship, but at least start there. Gregory Itzen is our guest tonight. We're going to take another quick break, and we will return.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, that about does it for another episode of Loveline. Thank you very much, Greg Ritson, for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Job well done.
Thank you, sir.
We'll watch you as the spineless president that you are.
Sure.
Who's going to show us some rare
something.
Color.
Something. We're going to get some spine in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned and see what form that takes.
Junior producer Lauren has stepped in. She's going to announce who the guests are tomorrow night because nobody gave me the information. Sons and Daughters of the show, right?
Yes. There are three cast members coming in.
Three cast members. The young ones, right?
Yes.
The
Amanda
sons and the daughters.
Walsh, Greg
Pitts
and
Randy Wayne.
Turn Lauren's mic up. No one hears her at all.
Well done.
Put your face into the microphone.
Sorry, I'm not used to this.
Say it again, Amanda.
Amanda Walsh, Gregory Pitts, and Randy Wayne.
There we go. It's Sons and Daughters. Gregory Itzen was with us tonight, and I hope he'll come back again soon.
I'd be glad to.
And please join us again tomorrow night. Until then, good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.